All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Pentecost, the celebration of the birth of the church. And, it's amazing how God coordinates some things. I call him accidental founder of Methodism, John Wesley. Today is the 277th birthday of his Aldersgate experience, where his heart was strangely warmed. Today, the 24th of May, 277 years ago, his heart was strangely warmed, and he kind of went from one level to another level. And we celebrate that today, along with the birthday of the church and what we call Pentecost. So we have some good songs and some preaching that I've been winding up for weeks, and so I promise you, before the day is over, we're not going to have a forgotten God, the third person of the Trinity. The third person of the Trinity is going to be embedded in our hearts. We're going to start off. We're going to start off gentle, and we're going to end up rocking. Okay, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Now you've heard it once. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Lord our God, as we have come together this day, we're aware of your Holy Spirit and his wonderful presence with us. As we go forth, help us to be stronger in our witness, faithful in our service, and more holy in our daily lives, to love and serve you until our Jesus comes again. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Amen, amen. Great to have you here this morning as we're coming together. I want to be very worshipful today, and there's a number of images of the Holy Spirit. Of course, one of the ones that we always think of when we think of Holy Spirit is fire. We have a few fires represented around here. I chucked the tie this morning, decided I couldn't do the tie. I had to go the reddest red I could just to see the fire, get some great things that fortunately some of our wonderful folks remembered about and got them out here. The other image is wind, powerful wind. The other image for the Holy Spirit, a third one is the image of rain. And what happens when the rain rains? The river flows, right? So here's this song. I'll save the fourth one, make sure I say something about it. Let the poor man say I am rich in him. Let the cursed man say I am found in him. Let the river flow. Let the blind man say I can see again. Let the dead man say I am born again. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come. Move in power. Let the river flow. Let the poor man say, I am rich in him. The lost man say, I am found in him. Let the river flow. The blind man say, I can see again. Let the dead man say, I am born again. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow, 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 let the river flow. Let the river, oh, sorry, poor man. Poor man say, I am rich in him. Let the lost man say, I am found in him. Let the river flow. Let the blind man say, I can see again. Let the dead man say, I am born again. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come. Move in power. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow, let the river flow, let the river flow, let the river flow. Thank you, Mark, for hanging on there, and Louise. You get caught up in singing. That's why we sing. We get caught up. Spirit moves in our hearts, moves in our lives, it moves in our vocal cords, and makes the fingers go and the heart soar. Soul on Fire. This is one of our favorite, very favorite groups. So we're going to rock this out here we go. Soul on Fire. And if you don't know it, you will. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm running for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm running for your ways. I'm longing for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, restore the joy I had. I have wandered, bring me back. In this darkness, lead me through. Until all I see is you. Yeah. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your ways. I'm waiting for the day. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, restore the joy I had. I have wandered, bring me back. In this darkness, help me through. Until all I see is you. Yeah. Lord, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. Waiting for the day. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. And Lord, let me burn for you again. And let me return to you again. Lord, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. Running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Whew! All right. Might be blood next service, I'm not sure. All right, the last symbolism of the Holy Spirit is actually oil. And so those are all references to the Holy Spirit that come in the Scriptures. And, you know, if we have that many references to the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, How can we forget? Amen? How can we forget? But it's happened. So, first, Louise, Romans 8, 22 to 27. I'm still breathing hard. 22 to 27. This is just some scripture backup. There's just tons of it. But here we go. Romans 8, 22 to 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pangs of childbirth right up until the present time. Not only so, Paul says, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship. And that's an inclusive sonship, but the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and He searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people. Hear that. In accordance with the will of God. And then John 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, Jesus said, and He will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Now, did you hear that? The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. So, in Christian life, lots of people have a concept of God. That's almost a universal thing. And so we make up gods to be God because we have this hole in our heads and our hearts. And the second is, at least some people will accept that Jesus Christ was a man, a person who walked this earth, man and God together, and that it could, and some will say, it could be documented that He walked this earth, that the Romans crucified Him. There's a lot of evidence for that. But then when we get to the Holy Spirit has already clued in that the Holy Spirit is one that the Father and the Son give to those who believe. And you just don't get touched by the Holy Spirit without asking, inviting. So that's where we're going to go. We've got a few weeks on this. Next week we're having a missionary speaker. It's so cool. I'm excited about that. I'll be wiped out after annual conference. I'll be, you know, we go up, we go down, we go all around. But let me get to this message because it's an important message. Memorial weekend, must touch on that. Just like we don't want to forget the third person of the Holy Trinity, culturally and our families and our homes and our communities, we don't want to forget those who made the ultimate sacrifice. We have flags, we have parades, we have picnics, we have coming together for those that we, with those that we love, to keep remembering what is most important. George Patton, you know, the crusty, order barking, cussing general, sorry, but that who was there, okay? This is a good one. He said this, it's a quote from Patton. It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, important word, rather we should thank God for that such men lived. Huh. That's some good stuff right there. And so that's part of our memorial weekend. And celebrate in your way, but we want to remember. It was a few years back, but we were... Every community celebrates in different places, but there was a lot of Monday celebrations and parades that day, and Louise and I were going from one place to the other, and we got stopped three times by three different parades. Wasn't that cool? Now, our lives were interrupted, and you know we might have whispered a few grumbles and all that, but and then we'd see the remembrances that were going on. I remember, you know, younger than your age, guys, that we'd go to a cemetery in Troopsburg, New York, and they'd play taps, and we'd salute the flag, and we would remember. That's good stuff. But we're here to preach today, so forgive me, wherever this goes, there's some fill-in-the-blank slots in your bulletin. So if you don't have a bulletin and you need that, or you can get it and you can go out to the board where the Sunday school stuff is posted and the fill-in-the-blanks are there. But if you'd listen, you'll get it. Why is this so strange for us? That's a, you know, Weez and I discuss this every year almost. Why is the Holy Spirit so strange for us? I don't remember too much when I was a little kid. But I do remember as I started getting older, I started to this sense, this little whispering, this hearing that, there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we're talking about the Father, we're talking about the Son, but the Spirit kind of gets slipped in. I'm not even sure some of the times that we actually celebrated, liturgically celebrated Pentecost in some of those little country churches. I don't remember it. But as I got to be a teenager, I'm hearing things. I'm getting clued in. And we know that many of the formal churches give lip service to the Holy Spirit. Catholic churches have the continuous flame and all that. There's different things, but did we really get clued in? And in mainstream, we don't always. Why is this so strange for us? In the early 19th century, there's this conversation, and I don't know too much about him, but as I was just kind of trying to find this quote, because I know the general gist of it, but Smith Wigglesworth, what a great name. Smith Wigglesworth is talking about the Holy Spirit. And he must have been one of the few Wigglesworths, however he got that name. But and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's saying this is what's going to happen. And he was kind of one of those John Wesleys of right around the turn of the century. 19th century to 20th century, into the 1900s, and he said something is coming, but he said words like Wesley, but he said something is coming. He said there's going to be a time when the Holy Spirit is going to become present, and when that Holy Spirit becomes present, people are going to start to know the Spirit, and that actually happened in the charismatic movement. I'm going to say late 60s into the 70s. I don't remember exactly when on some of these things. I just remember, like, there's people talking in tongues, and there's people all fired up, and it was broad-based, Catholic, Protestant, and there's the lifting of the Pentecostal church and these revival movements that kind of went on. Flames came up in different places. But he said, and then, as the people get that Spirit, then there will be a deep movement to the Word of God. To the Word of God, because the Spirit and the Word cannot be disconnected. The Word is Jesus Christ, the living Word, Jesus Christ. And he said this, and that really has come true in a lot of senses. And some of us could get left behind. John Wesley's heartwarming led to continued reformation and revival and almost apostolic movement. But why is this so strange for us? First of all, confusion of some of the responses to the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit. People say, the Spirit told me to. And a lot of times the Spirit didn't tell them to. They just got weird. They just got a little funny. And we'll see them. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you some evidences that will help clear this up. People are hungry for the supernatural. People are hungry for the supernatural. Oh, there's just too many illustrations of this. I honestly wanted to go to the magic guy over, and I kind of looking over there because I wanted to see him do some things. It's just like interesting things. But people are hungry for the supernatural, and some strange things get blamed on the Holy Spirit. They just do, okay? But people are hungry for the supernatural. There's a God-sized hole in our heart, and we're trying to fill it, but sometimes we fill the wrong things. And a third thing is not all the supernatural is God. Not all the supernatural is God. And we got to identify. When God is talking, the devil is talking. And the Holy Spirit is whispering, or it's something else. It's indigestion. And we all say indigestion. It's our self wanting something. And we justify it. We do that. A fourth thing is Satan wants to replace the real with a counterfeit. He's sending confusion our way all the time. Now just think, if some of the churches of millions, like the United Methodist Church, scattered throughout all the different places we have, you know, more outlets than McDonald's. And if they really got on fire, what would happen? So Satan's always trying to send some confusion our way, okay? And he didn't want that to happen. And then there's this other piece, the best way to describe it, I don't know. Some of you have had a crazy uncle or a crazy aunt. And, you know, you send cards here and there and everywhere. And you're not sure if you really want them to come to Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas, because they're kind of funny, you know. And sometimes I think we see the Holy Spirit as that, because you don't know what's going to happen. Because when the Spirit moves, you get caught up in that river. When the Spirit moves, there's fire, and you cannot control it. You cannot, Jesus says, you can't control the Spirit. The wind blows where it wills. We want, you know, we want a service to be 60 minutes. We want to follow the bulletin so we know where it's going, you know, different things. I mean, I'm like that. When I go to a play, Act 1, Act 2, I kind of want to know where it is, and I don't want them to get creative. You know what I mean? Holy Spirit cannot be bound by some things. All right, amen. Here's Holy Spirit's the most understood, most neglected person of the Trinity. Born-again Christians, 75% of born-again Christians, it's almost unbelievable, do not believe the Holy Spirit is a person. Really. And probably even greater in the non-born-again group. And yet the Holy Spirit in Pentecostal-style church is growing all around the world. Some of us know it from Africa. Some of us know it from South America. The Holy Spirit, Pentecostal style, is growing across the world, leaving a lot of us in the dust. I got so much here. John 14. I already read that. I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate. That's a word we want to underline. To be help you, be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and he'll be in you. John 16, verse 7, but truly, very truly I tell you, it is for your good, Jesus says, that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. All right, I'm glad for that. And then John 16, verses 12 through 15, I have much more to say to you, more than you can hear now, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, again, another underlined Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And I think we heard in John chapter 5, Jesus saying, what's from me is coming from the Father. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you yet what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. All right. First fill in the blank. The success of the Christian walk is entirely dependent upon our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Nobody probably ever said that to you. The success of our walk is dependent upon our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And there's a clue. The enemy does not want us to cooperate with each other. The enemy doesn't want us to work together with First Baptist Church, Presbyterian Church, the Pentecostal churches, the Resurrection Life. He doesn't want us to work together anyways, because good things could happen if we were working together. So the Word and the Spirit of God always work together. Wigglesworth, I already talked about him. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, it will always result in people coming to Jesus, and those people will go out into their community, and they will witness, and they will share, hear this, with boldness. And not everybody wants that. Okay, so that I believe that's true. Four reasons the Holy Spirit comes, but these are some of the marks of the genuine deal. This is one of the things I really want you to hear today if you don't hear anything else. First of all, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take away many of our fears and our insecurities. He will give us boldness. I already talked about that. He will give us boldness. He'll take away some of our fears and insecurities. That's one. That's a good reason right there to pray for the Holy Spirit. The second thing, he comes to free us. And the things he wants to free us from are guilt, unforgiveness, bitterness, gossip. I mean, I could go through a long laundry list. But he comes to free us from these things. Amazing things that the Holy Spirit does in people. I've been to courtrooms. I've been around people and they say, how can they possibly do that? They often can do that through the Holy Spirit. They did it in the apostolic times. They're doing it now because the Holy Spirit is on them. Third thing, to fill us with love. To fill our hearts with love. That's one of the reasons he comes. Get him a double amen on that one. Right? Because we're still lacking. And he comes to fill our hearts with love. My heart with love. Still wrestling with the dark soul. Okay, and then the fourth thing. Again, evidence. To empower you and I to accomplish something. To empower you and I to accomplish something. You see, power to get something done. To power to get one of God's works done. Holy Spirit, you cannot walk away unchanged, but we must invite the Spirit in. I want you to make friends with the Holy Spirit. We've got a couple more weeks on this, so you can just kind of start to think and start to dream and start to pray. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's a person. He's not an it. He's not a force. He's not feelings. He's a person. One of the three persons of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, welded together. I wanted to say melded, but that would get too Star Trek on you. So he's a person. Second, he's God. Matthew reminds us, 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. He said it there. Genesis 1:26, again, I know we think, oh, men wrote these things. How does Moses know some of this stuff? When he's putting together the Pentateuch and I don't exactly know. I just know what's there. It's dependable. And in Genesis 1:26, there's a key little word. Then God said, let us. That always just thrilled me and baffled me at the same time. Let us make mankind in our image. I checked a bunch of translations just to be sure it was there. It's there. Nobody could escape it by fudging on the language or just saying, I don't know. Let us make. He's God. And the fourth I fill in, I think there is, he lives in us. He lives in us. Jesus reigning in heaven. We talk about having him in our heart. How is he in our heart? He's in the heart through that connection with the Holy Spirit. They had wireless before anybody had wireless. I won't go there. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Almost done. I'm going to land the plane here. We're going to put the fire down on the low burner. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Oh, forgot. I wasn't really looking at it in that way. Who is in you, whom you have received from God? Paul's got a certain expectation. Followers of Christ are going to have that Spirit resident. And the last piece is, he is our neglected helper. He's our neglected helper. When Jesus was leaving the disciples, he said, you guys are going to need some help. And when Jesus is looking over, he's like, you guys are going to need some help. You're going to need a few things. And this word, there's two, there's a couple that we point to. One is paraclete and one is pneuma. My children used to laugh when I said paraclete. They still do, and they're 30-some years old. Paraclete. the best translation is helper, advocate, counselor. Whatever angle you want to take it, he's there to kind of help us move through. It's interesting, you know. It's kind of like you're in charge. When you have a helper, you're in charge, but they're just like, well, I got your back. The counselor, it's not walking with you every day. They're giving you some advice. The advocate stands by you. You can do it. Might talk to somebody else, but it's still you. Holy Spirit. Paraclete. And then the pneuma is what we often say is the Spirit. Did I say those four words? When the Spirit is moving, it's often described by people throughout the generations as fire, wind, water, or the river flowing, and oil. And oil. And you can find all of those throughout the Scriptures. Okay, my own experience. When I know the Spirit has touched my life, I felt empowered. I have felt guided. Sometimes I felt overcome. I mean, just overwhelmed and moved, just moved, like drawn, moved, pushed. I don't know. There's just so many words that something from outside of me, has taken over inside of me, and I'm controlled or moved or pushed or advised by a benevolent force from heaven. I don't know. I'll work on the word some more. We got a few more weeks, but empowered. I know I've done things that I wouldn't, of my own man strength or man mentality, wanted to do. Some of you may have as well. No, we're talking Holy Spirit. So where's this series going? We're going to this, is that we know about, that we believe in, and we surrender to, and we're friends with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. All right, that's where we're going. John Wesley's journal from Wednesday, May 24th, 1738, 277 years ago, he was surprised by the Holy Spirit, and quotes, "Lord, let it happen again in us." His heart was strangely warmed. And there's no telling for the church, there's no telling for the people what the Holy Spirit will do with you or me, but I know it's good. I know it's good. Heavenly Father, thank you for this testimony of your word today. We often think of birthday cakes and celebrations and fires and winds and that kind of thing of the Holy Spirit, but he's still that one that's moving and calling and wooing and advising. I know when you've said go, sometimes it's been the Holy Spirit. And when you said stop, sometimes it's been the Holy Spirit. When you've said take advice, I know it's been the Holy Spirit. And when you've said I'm with you, it's your Holy Spirit. Thank you, oh God. And be resonant in the lives and homes and hearts of every single one of these people in this room. Until you decide you're coming again, Jesus is coming down. Take us all home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.